thinking of the things we've been singing and the scriptures that were read and the prayers that are a part of our life. You know, we're pretty fortunate, aren't we? And one of the things that have to understand, in this day and age, Jesus is still in charge. And nothing we do can affect that, right? He is in charge, and he's good. And believe it or not, no matter what the pundits say, God is in control. You ever think about the things in your life that you don't have much control over? You ever grumble about them? I think all of us do sometimes, don't we? And we try to say, God, can't you speed this up a little bit? And that's what we think sometimes, don't we? We give our prayers and we say, Lord, right now. And I can see God chuckle at us and say, hang on there, kid. I'm still in charge. I'll do it right, and I'll do it at the right time. Even if it's not in this life. Ever think about that? I sometimes do. You know, sometimes the answers to our prayer don't happen in our lifetime, but they will happen when he does his thing. So anyway, remember, we're going to do a little bit of a review here because it's been about 3 or 4 weeks since we were back in Romans. But remember, the foundation that we've said all along is that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And you know, that's a foundation that the world hates. Don't they? They don't like that truth. Why? Because they don't want to believe it. And if that's the truth, then they're going to feel guilty.
They don't like the requirements.
Yeah, exactly. And so anyway, that's it. But here now, we were looking at chapter 9 a couple of weeks ago. Do a few inserts from that. 9 verses 19 to 21. One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one that formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? Ever go down to that place where they blow glass? The glass? Yeah, you ever been down there? Ever see them blow glass? You stay for that lecture that they do and demonstration of glass. And despite of what Jehuli might say, some of the glass doesn't look too good. But a lot of it is very beautiful. And that's an artistic stamp, isn't it? And yet, when some of it doesn't work, what do? They break it apart and fire it up again, don't they? And make something new out of it. And you know, in life, we have to trust God. Are there things about our life, both physically and spiritually and mentally, that we would like to change? Most of us have some things that we would rather change, right? But he's the potter. And he knows what's right in our life. And the thing that we must lay as our foundation of life is that he loves us. It doesn't matter what we look like, he loves us. Doesn't matter what we feel like, he still loves us. It doesn't matter if we feel broken apart inside. Ever feel that way? That there are so many things that we don't like about ourselves, broken apart inside. And you know what? He loves us anyway. When you love someone, it doesn't matter what they look like or what they feel like or what they do. You love them in spite of themselves. My wife gave me a word as I left today. She said, go in peace. And I was putting it in my mind, I'm going to go in pieces. And I didn't have a chance to say that to her, but I would have if I'd had a chance, if I decided to. And we have family traditions that are crazy, you know. And we love each other. Do you know what shows us our love for each other? We stick out our tongue at each other. And that's a family thing that we do that and we say, I love you. And so anyway, that's enough of that. But the potter has the chance to do anything he wants, doesn't he? And so we can't blame God for who we are. We can blame ourselves sometimes. And you know what? He doesn't care.
Well, God made us with a free will. He gave us the free will to love him or not. And the problem of it is, as I see it, is that no one wants to follow the rule of how to go to God. They say, well, we're good people. We're good. And why would God send anybody to hell? He's made us. And why would he send anybody to this mythical hell? We're all going to go to heaven and just some of us will be better than others up there.
Yeah. You know, I was reading part of a book a while back, and there was a section of it that was about a preacher. And he was listing the whole lot of things that we usually say about ourselves. We're not any good. We don't feel good about ourselves. We've got all kinds of scars inside and outside. We've got things that we've done that we should never have done. We feel guilty about ourselves. We feel that we're not worthy of God or of Jesus' forgiveness. We have those feelings inside, don't we? And you know, then you know what? Satan likes to amplify that. And he tells us all those things. But who is Satan? He's the liar. He's the liar. And when we say all those things about ourselves, Satan applauds us and says, yeah, that's right. Say it on, because then God doesn't care. And you're going to perish because God doesn't love you. Those thoughts can be part of a person's life. But we must remember that it all depends on, not on us. That becomes works, doesn't it? It depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us and what he said. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians 2:8-9. Remember any of that? It is not by works that we have done, but what's it about? Faith. Faith. And so that's God's word. Jesus' words. And we can trust that. And we can't even lie to ourselves about the things that are real in our life, you know? Yeah, they're real. But God loves us anyway. God loves us anyway. My brother was a rounder. He never graduated from high school. He dropped out and went to work as a mechanic. And this was beginning of World War II that time. And he didn't always do things very perfect. He was an excellent mechanic. He took that gift from my dad, really. And he worked in a garage, and I can still see it and remember that garage that he worked in. And I can remember that he got married and had a couple of children. And then he strayed from his marriage. And you know what? He asked one time to come home. And my mother accepted him home. She didn't like what he did. She didn't care for his behavior sometimes. But I can remember when she still allowed him to have the room next to mine upstairs where my sister used to have before she got married. She welcomed him home because he was her son. That's what God does to us. He welcomes us home even when we mess up big time. So that doesn't give us an excuse to mess up. It just gives us forgiveness. And that's what it's all about, forgiveness. And there are people in our lives that rub us the wrong way. Ever have any of those? The only solution to that is forgiveness. And that is the only way we're going to survive with them, is to forgive. And you know, forgiveness may not change them, but it does change our heart. Forgiveness is what changes our attitude and our heart. And then we can accept the fact that that's what Jesus does for us. He forgives us. He's the potter. And what happens in our life is okay. You ever have people tell you this is what you ought to do? And try to control you or try to tell you that you have to do something different? And we all have those people in our lives. And you know what? Our only solution is not necessarily to fall into the trap that they're trying to lay for us, but to forgive. You know, as we go through life, we can forgive, but we never, sometimes the Lord doesn't allow us to forget. You ever, sometimes we don't forget those bad things that happen to us, right? But if we forgive, then our heart can rest at peace. Maybe that other person will never ask us to forgive them. And you know what? That's okay. The potter is in charge. And he's making something beautiful of our lives, even if we don't think it. He's making us to be the people that he wants. And each one of us is different. We don't have to be like the other person. And some of our heroes fall flat on their face. and some of the others that were kind of looked down upon shine as bright examples of his glory. And there was a student of ours back at NIAC, Jen will remember this. Name was Augie. Augie was crippled. We had going up to the main building where the dining hall was, and called Simpson Hall. Probably had about 40 or 50 steps. I never remember to count them. And I've seen him, you know, go up the stairs, you know, one step at a time, and his leg was giving him out worse than mine does. And I saw some other kids, other students, mocking him. And I thought in my heart, you guys don't understand life at all. Augie became a real leader. He became the head of the maintenance at NIAC. Served the Lord so graciously with love. And he was an example of all of us of the good things that God does in people's lives. I don't know where I went with that, why I went there, but that was a rabbit trail that came to my mind just now. Doesn't matter what we're like or what we've failed with. Have all of us failed in things? Yeah. Some of us failed big time, right? But you know what? God still loves us. That's the thing to hold on to. God never forgets his love for us. That's his patience. Remember what Paul said about Hosea in 9:25-26? He said, I will call them my people who are not my people. I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And in the very place where it was said of them, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. Now, if you know the context of what we've been looking at for weeks and we'll continue to look at, he was talking about the people of the Jews. He was saying, they're not my people because I rejected them, because they rejected me. But there will be a lot of others who are not my people, who I will call my people. And Paul, if you understand the context that we've been in, the loved ones that he says, who are not my people, that's us. He loved us and called us into his family. We weren't the original loved ones. And they were rejected as the Lord's loved ones so that we could be called the Lord's loved ones. And we know the history of that as we've read this story of Christ's last days here on earth. And then he talks about Isaiah, too. He said, Isaiah cries out concerning Israel. Says, there it is. Though the number of the Israelites be like the sand of the sea, only the remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality. It is just as Isaiah said previously, unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have all become like Sodom, and we would have been like Gomorrah. Think about that. God wiped them out. Why? Because of their sinfulness, their homosexual behavior. He wiped them out. And there are people in the world who want to wipe us out like Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? North Korea, Iran, want to wipe us out. China wants to wipe us out. Russia has wanted to wipe us out for years since World War II, right? And they can do it. They have the means to do it if they decide to. And if we didn't have a good protection. But this is more deadly. When people reject the Lord, they're going to be wiped out. Jesus even said that some of the cities that he had visited, if they had seen, if Sodom and Gomorrah had seen the things that they saw, they would have repented. Oh, well, that's another issue. Let's not go there. But what then shall we say, he said, that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it? A righteousness that is by faith. But the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of righteousness have not attained their goal. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as it is, were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. What a tremendous change and help that is. And then he said in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, he said, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So let's get on to chapter 10. And if you think about it, has Satan blinded the people today? They're very blind. And our government follows along with that suit, doesn't it? And they tell us that, we are racist people. If we excel in college, we're racist. So what do they have to do? We talked about this on Wednesday. They lower the standards so that people who don't have the smarts that we have can still get into college. And they grade on a curve. I don't think I'm very happy about doctors who might pass med school by grading on the curve. Yeah, some of us have had good experience with good doctors and others have not. Go ahead.
Juanita just said, how about the pilots that fly aircraft?
I think we're a prejudiced people, and we're prejudiced because we believe that only those who believe in Jesus will go to heaven. And you know what? It's the truth. It's the truth. So we are very prejudiced, aren't we? But Israel was blind, according to what Paul was saying in chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. And they did not accept God's way, but they did it their own way. And everyone wants to get to heaven by doing their own thing. I think, remember, that's the thing that everyone goes back to. They have to earn their way. Now, in our society, it's a good thing to earn wages. That's true. It's a good thing to work hard and earn wages and do good things. But that's not going to get us into heaven. It's simply trust in the Lord and faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying to the Jews. They were blind. And then he tells what the purpose of the law was. He said, in verses 4 to 5 of 10, for Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all its commands. But, always look at that word but. Whenever you see that in scripture, circle it if you want. But there is something different. But in 10:6-7, he says, but faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? And don't say, who will go down to the place of dead to bring Christ back to life again? And then in verses 8 to 10, in fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. You see what Paul is saying in the overall statement here? It's by faith, not by works. And even though the Old Testament people, Moses and others, said you got to keep these works in order to accomplish being right with God, God had a better plan. And the better plan that was planned from day one was Jesus, that it is by faith. And if you read the Psalms and David, and reading a number of them again and marveling at the fact, David's heart, so many times he said, oh God, why don't you answer my prayers? I need you to answer my prayers right now. But then David winds up saying, but your will be done, basically. Nevertheless, God, you're in charge, and I will rejoice again. I will sing again. I will play my instruments again. And then one of his musicians, his chief music guy in the temple, Asaph, he says, I remember when I used to be able to lead the procession into the courts of the church. God, where are you? Why aren't you letting me lead them now? Are you ever going to answer my prayer? And then he finds out that God says, yeah, eventually I will do that, Asaph. I will lead you into my temple and I will let you lead worship again. And David used those, and that was up and down turmoil of their life. Does that sound like us? We have up and down. We feel like a failure, and that's right, we were. We feel like we should be good enough for God to love us. No, we're not. But God loves us anyway. He loves us as sons and daughters, always. He never gives up on us. And he loves us as he has made us. And you know, really, when it boils down to, he is the potter. He made us for his purpose, and each one of us is different. We can't be like the other one. We have to be ourselves. Not all of us are Einsteins. Most of us are far from it. But, you know, even he had some difficulties, didn't he? And you look at him and know the great things that he has done, but some of those things that he supposedly put forth don't work. He wouldn't admit that. But the thing that he needed to know was Jesus, the one who created it all. And he followed the lie that there couldn't be a God who made it all. I don't know where the end of his life was. There's some writings out there about maybe he made a change, but who knows? But I follow his principles. I have a messy desk. So I follow his example. I have a messy desk. But at least I know where I can find stuff. Most of the time. Anyway, enough of that. But you know, one of my failures. That's just one of many. Anyway, the message was near them. They couldn't go up to heaven to find the message. They couldn't go down the hill by works to find Jesus and find the message. It was right there, right in their heart. And that's where we can find truth too, when the Holy Spirit comes to us, when we believe in Jesus. And that's what he said in these verses. If we believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that you believe in him. He said, if you believe in your heart that you will be made right with God. And then you can declare it openly that that's the truth. So those are the great verses that Romans 10, 9, and 10, that from Kronike, New York, they used to say dynamite versus TNT, 10, 9, and 10, pure dynamite. And then go on, verses 11 through 13. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord, who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Any of you ever remember reading Jeremiah 39? In that particular chapter, a delightful chapter, he says that very same thing, that all people who call on God, basically they paraphrased, will be saved. If they seek him, they will find him, Jeremiah says. And that's our privilege. And it's only our privilege, it's the only way of life. So anyway, that's what Scripture says according to Paul. And then he goes on, he said, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is what the scriptures say. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So few people really believe the truth about Jesus, isn't that right? And that's sad. But he's saying here, how are they going to hear unless someone tells them? And you're not going to get it in universities. You're probably not going to get it in most high schools or colleges. You're probably not going to get it even in elementary schools anymore. You're getting a lot of other garbage, but not that. But I can remember, even as a kid, after I was born again, as I went through the classes in school, and I had to remember about Cro-Magnon and all the guerrillas and everything in the chain of command as we evolved. I studied them and thought, oh, that's interesting, but I didn't believe it. There wasn't a thing about it that I really believed, because I already knew Jesus. And I always knew that God made us. And it didn't even enter my mind, and that's nothing to my benefit, it didn't even enter my mind that God could have used evolution to do it. Anyway, the word of truth has to be told to people so they can understand it. And this is one of the greatest missionary passages in the scripture. And we'll look at others later when we get to it next week, because I got a bunch of additions here. But who will believe? And he said, those who believe the message of our truth, which Jesus is Lord, that's who will believe. And you go to the Lord's Great Commission, and we will next week, he tells us that's what our job is. That's our assignment. And we see it right here. And we'll go on next week. We'll go on to his last command that I was just mentioning in Matthew 28, and then continue on in the 10th chapter, those two verses. And then we want to interlude with the prayer that Jesus had. And we'll look at this at the end again. And we'll see this. This is a one you want to listen to. It's beautiful. John sent this to me. And don't think that it's ended when it has a black spot for about 3 or 4 seconds. It still goes on. And just sit and enjoy this. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Father God, what a beautiful thing it is when you give us delightful music and delightful sights that give us the understanding of your great love. And that's just a minor thing, and we have to enjoy in this life. And Lord, we can't even imagine what it'll be like in the next life. So teach us, Lord. Teach us to respect you, and believe you, and trust you in all of our life, and to understand in the depths of our being the very truth that you love us and never, never will forsake us. Thank you for that. Walk with us now to honor you in all we do, say, and think. In your name, Lord, amen.